This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story.
Chapter 18. With the shadow of dusk racing over him, white smoke floating in an unbending column from the chimney, and the smell of bacon in the air, Tom left the strange pile of stones and joined Catriona to eat. The smoke, it turned out, was from a mix of partially dried wood and the remnants of the pre-storm hoard. A small driftwood teepee hissed and popped in the hearth, and Catriona sat in the armchair as Tom, suddenly ravenous, gulped a handful of rashers and beans as though he hadn't eaten for days. "Sorry," she said, nodding to his plate. "Dad was supposed to bring supplies back in the boat." The word "Dad" seemed light on her lips. This is good," Tom muttered between mouthfuls. "Really good." Of course, he needed about 10 times more than she'd give him, but he was grateful just the same. Finished, he ran a finger around the plate and sucked the flavour from his skin. Catriona hardly touched her own. Despite himself, Tom couldn't resist a hungry glance at her meal as she placed it on a small coffee table and sat back in her seat. "Take it." Tom felt like a beggar and hesitated. "Please," she continued, "I'm not hungry." Seconds later, Catriona's plate was empty, and at last the boy felt like he'd dulled the pangs cramping his stomach. Desperate for something to say, he asked about her father. Listening to the fevered moan boring through the wall, Tom could guess the answer, but he asked anyway. "I'm worried." "You won't have it though, Tom. He's frightened they'll take me away." "It's got to happen sometime. You said yourself, the whole nation is on the lookout for you. You can't stay here forever, and as soon as you're seen together, that's it." Tom saw the look of defeat in Catriona's face. "Look, Tom, I'm sorry I lied, but you don't know what it's like to have your parents..." She stopped then and looked suddenly guilty. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that." The ice thawed, Catriona's black hair catching a line of reflected light as the fire suddenly broke through some barrier and became a healthy blaze. "You know," she said, "once you're out, you'll be home soon enough. Someone's bound to have reported you missing." Tom leant forward, his heart and thoughts flitting between this moment with Catriona, his determination to get help, and the Cregan dreams that seemed to beckon him like beautiful and hellish sirens. "I don't need to leave here to find out." The look he gave her was enough. She understood immediately what he was saying, without him needing to ask. "You know, my aunt could have been wrong." "Then she's wrong." "Will you do it?" Catriona looked around the room and shivered. She'd not seen what Tom had, but was infected by his fevered emotions and imagined the dead rising from hidden cellars and floating through stone floors to drag them to their graves. But this time her fear did not stop her. She understood now exactly what Tom was going through. Despite her earlier and truthful words about her fears, she'd always harboured a curiosity to try a séance. And if it didn't work, so what? And now, sitting before her, was the best reason she would ever have to try. "Okay," she said finally. "We'll do it." She stood and grasped the two plates from the table, but before she could make whatever preparation she thought necessary, Tom spoke softly, as though he didn't want to break Catriona's cooperative mood. "Not here," he said. "The ruin above the cottage." Catriona thought about this, standing with the plates in her hands and backlit by the fire. "Why?" "I don't know for sure. I just sort of know without knowing anything. It's a feeling, that's all." As he spoke, he heard the music in his head, the fiddle, the haunting cry. Catriona nodded. "Fine," she agreed. "The ruin it is." After checking on Callum, they wrapped themselves warm, Tom in a dark fleece belonging to Catriona, Catriona in the pink jumper she'd worn on the edge of the boiling sea. It was surprisingly warm outside, a full moon and sparse clouds giving the land a definition beyond the gloom he'd seen before. Somewhere above them a deer barked. Tom took a gas lantern, its hiss a constant and unchanging note that drowned the sounds of the streams, his thumping heart, and Catriona's rhythmic breath as he climbed the hill. The light from the lamp formed a bubble around him. It was so bright that when holding it, arms stretched in front, Tom was partially blinded by its intensity. He brought it down to his side where it threw his own shadow to the left and Catriona's to the right. Soon they reached the ruin, the clumpy heather threatening to trip them with every step. The hiss of the lamp seemed to fade over time despite its constancy. Perhaps it was anticipation, nerves or excitement, but on entering the cloistered walls of the ruin, Tom felt the same mixture of dread and joy he'd felt earlier, and just knew that the answer to who he was lay right here, in this place. And tonight, he would know exactly what that answer was.
DreamWorks.com.